That's right. The one and only joining me again is the Bigger Than Life artist Patrick Harris to give us his take on the art scene. And I also want to announce our giveaway again for two tickets to see the New Mexico Peace Choir this Saturday night. Well, it actually starts at 4 p.m. and it's the Unitarian Universalist Congregation. So you can call right now, 505-428-1382. And I would say any time in the next half hour, 505-428-1382, and give us a call. You'll get, that's a free giveaway for two tickets to see New Mexico Peace Choir, who we interviewed just just not that long ago, and it was a wonderful interview. Inspiring group.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Have you ever seen them, by the way, Patrick?
No. And I don't have a phone, so I can't call in right now, but somebody else is going to get the tickets.
Your wife. Maybe she can
get
on it.
Call, Bessie. Call.
All right. Well, thank you. I just want to say welcome, 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 Patrick.
Thank you. Thanks. It's great to be here again.
It's just a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thanks. Let's get to it. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
Tell us all about the underside of Picasso.
Well, before we get to the art events, a little word about Pablo Picasso and his famous painting, The Women of Avignon, or the Damsels de Avignon. This particular painting was seen as being an incredibly modern, the most significant painting of the 20th century. So we looked at this portrait of four women, and it looks like a Cubist portrait, but actually two of the women's heads are copies of ancient Iberian sculpture. So how did Picasso copy those ancient heads? Well, he had a little friend. His name was Géry Pierret.
And I have to give listeners a little bit of a warning. We might tear him down a little bit from his pedestal right now. I just want to prepare them a little bit.
Well, it's not really tearing him down. It's just revealing Picasso's historical record.
Okay.
Anyway, there was an exhibit of Iberian sculpture at the Louvre. Picasso loved it because, he was from Spain, which is Iberia, and he felt that these were his long-lost grandparents who had made this sculpture. And so he talked to a small-time thief named Géry Pierret, who was a good friend of Apollinaire, the poet. And he asked Géry Pierret if he could just kind of stumble down into the Louvre and pick up a few sculptures for him. So Géry did just that, stole two 15-pound sculptures. I guess he put them under his coat and just walked them back to Picasso, who kept them on his mantelpiece, who then copied them into a painting called The Women of Avignon. He was engaged in quite a competition with Henri Matisse over who was the best artist in 1905, 1907, 1910. So after making this gigantic painting, which featured two stolen heads from the Louvre, everyone took a look at it and told him, you know, Pablo, maybe you should stop painting. That is basically the worst painting we have ever seen. They humiliated him over this work. Pablo took it home, rolled it up, put it in his studio for 30 years. So if this is the most influential painting in the 20th century, apparently it was working its influence from the basement of Picasso's studio. However, what happens is that in 1937, the Museum of Modern Art, under the direction of Alfred Barr, acquires this painting and puts up a show of Picasso's work in 1938. Alfred Barr then begins to say that this is the most significant painting of the 20th century. Everyone buys tickets, reads the catalog, and they just buy into this and says, well, yeah, this is the most significant painting of the 20th century. Excuse me, Henri Matisse said that was the worst painting of the 20th century, and I rather agree with Henri.
Wow.
No one would have known that Picasso had participated in the theft of two artworks from the Louvre, except that in 1911, the Mona Lisa was stolen and disappeared for a couple of years. So the French police, in their investigations, of course, realized that Géry Pierret is a small-time thief. Géry Pierret brags in the newspapers that he steals things from the Louvre. In fact, he asks his friends if they would like him to pick anything up from the Louvre when he's going by today. So he's in the papers. So the cops talk to Pierret, and Pierret says,
Oh, yeah, yeah. My good friend's Apollinaire. My other good friend is Pablo Picasso.
So they questioned Picasso about the theft of the Mona Lisa. Of course, Picasso has nothing to do with that theft. But he's sitting on two hot sculptures in his studio, and he freaks out. His good friend Apollinaire then returns them to a newspaper who then takes them back to the Louvre. Apollinaire is almost thrown out of the country over this. When the cops question Picasso, if he knows Apollinaire, who happens to be Picasso's best friend, Picasso says, I've never seen him before in my life.
Oh my God.
I don't know who this man is.
Wow.
I'm so sorry. No, I didn't have anything to do. Stolen sculptures? No, you must be thinking of someone else. So there's some things about Pablo which aren't so nice. And we've got the Museum of Modern Art director, Alfred Barr, who then participates in publicizing Picasso as the greatest thing since sliced bread on the planet. Excuse me, when I look back at the 20th century, I much prefer the vision of Henri Matisse, who sort of took a back seat to Picasso after this incident.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is an incredible story. Now, let me ask you, how many people know about this?
Well, I stumbled across it in a posting at the Minnesota Press, I believe University of New Mexico Press. But now it's just blown up on the internet because Noah Charney has come out with a work documenting this Affaire des Statuettes of Pablo Picasso. So if you just Google Picasso steals from the Louvre and the name Noah Charney, you'll find the exact same document that runs about 15 pages long.
Boy, this actually is even in the category of weird news. Weirdnews.info.
That's it is.
If you've been to that website, this is the kind of thing that you would find on weirdnews.info. It's like the backstory, the behind the scenes story of what really happened.
Huh. And so is weird news is factual, huh?
Yeah, it is factual. Yeah.
Wow.
And
and
it's really just extraordinary sort of tales of people throughout history. It's got archaeological find. It has all sorts of information.
Whoa,
yeah, but it's this type of story that would that could easily end up there.
On
weirdnews.info. But that's really just fascinating. And so how do you feel after all this? I mean, when you discovered this, were you...
Well, like a lot of famous and infamous people, you have their publicity and their persona, which ends up being global, sometimes is a big balloon. And from time to time, like Harvey Weinstein, it all pops in a big explosion.
Right.
But for people like Pablo Picasso, it's more of a leaking balloon, and his import will get smaller and smaller as generations come and go. Yeah.
Yeah. And now that this story has blown up on the internet.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Wonderful. I kind of like true things.
Well, we'll look for more stories like this coming from you, Patrick Harris.
Okay.
All right. So, and you're a professor or art instructor.
Yes.
So you do know what you're talking about.
Oh, I spend half of my life digging up this dirt. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will look forward to future stories. And and we're talking about all the exciting things happening in Santa Fe this weekend and northern New Mexico. I want to encourage people to go to our website, ksfr.org, where you can post your own event and tell us all about it. And we're going to read it here on air. So please give us the details. What is it all about? And, you know, to start, I'm gonna talk a little bit about Nina Elder at the Site Lab 12 and her exhibit called What Endures. And this is a rather extensive description, but I thought you would appreciate this, Patrick.
Huh.
So here's what it says. It says, Site Lab opens Wednesdays through Sunday at Site Santa Fe, Site Lab 12. Nina Elder, What Endures. New Mexico-based artist and researcher Nina Elder creates work that examines geologic time, the influence of human activity on the environment and changing cultures and ecologies. Elder's cross-disciplinary practice takes the form of drawing, painting, narrative performance, creative publication, and curated excursions. What Endures features a collection of drawings from three bodies of work created over the past decade. These works highlight some of the most environmentally impacted and economically important places on Earth, question what is sacred, and explore the artist's practice of, quote, bearing witness, unquote, to the world. Now, get this. This is what I think is interesting. Using unique pigments such as radioactive charcoal, industrial waste, pulverized meteorites, and forest fire ash, Elder creates large-scale, meticulous drawings that illuminate the contemporary landscape and call attention to the environmental impacts of industry, military, economy, and policy. And there's more, but what do you think about that?
I think what's really unusual is what you point out is
right.
The material she's working with. When she's talking about the history of nuclear proliferation, she's using what radioactive
yeah.
material to create the artwork?
That's crazy, right? Radioactive charcoal. I was like, whoa, this is fascinating.
So does she wear a hazmat suit?
She might. You never know. If you show up, she might be in one. Elder, I'll tell you a little more here, too. Elder's drawings document the disconnect between the scientific and the sacred, and function as memorials to displaced mountains, felled trees, and disrupted ecosystems. And I figured you would appreciate this in particular because you deal with environmental themes in your work. And also included in this exhibition are seven drawings of meteorites that have been removed from indigenous communities. So made through cultural consultation with indigenous leaders, Elder's drawings record the unscrupulous acquisition of these celestial rocks and illuminate the void that remains when the extractive demands of science are prioritized over cultural value. Over cultural values.
Right. Yeah,
I think, right?
Yeah, it's just plunder.
Now, here's more. These lists are a part of her ongoing investigation into the act of bearing witness and reflections on her personal experience of interdisciplinary research. Elder's incomplete lists explore things that protect, things that are sensitive, exponential things, and fleeting things. Created by carefully incising text into paper, the lists are then pigmented using materials such as pulverized guns, glacial silt, and stardust. Elder's most recent list, an incomplete list of things found in New Mexico, is featured as a limited edition poster available at Site Santa Fe's gift shop. Now, when is this? It is June 14th through September 15th at Site Santa Fe. And again, that's, here we go. 10 p.m. No, I think that's got to be a 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Right.
So that's the event.
Site does this so often. They bring in artists of international interest and scope that bring to us, well, that show us what's going on.
Right.
These things that are behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, out of the purview of public discourse, these artists are investigating what is really happening in the soft underbelly of both the scientific community and the political community. I mean, it's just marvelous stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you have to bring to the table here?
Oh, gosh. I really think everyone should go up and see Terran Last Gun. He's got an exhibition opening tonight, May 31st, and it's going to be on view through June 22nd. This is a wonderful abstract compilation of that looks like color field pop and minimalist art. Incredible work. And this will be showing at Hecho a Mano at 830 Canyon Road, opening tonight. So you might want to get up there. It's a reception at 6 p.m. But beautiful geometric abstractions. Wonderful, wonderful artist, Terran Last Gun.
And, you know, I also want to give a special shout-out to Pasatiempo because we utilize Pasatiempo as we do our calendar here of events. And, again, the KSFR.org community calendar. So head there. You can post your events all by yourself. It's easy to do. And tell us all about it, like this Bel Canto Contemporary Artists Explore Opera. And this happens again at Site Santa Fe. That's March 16th through September the 1st. And what is that about? Well, Site Santa Fe presents Bel Canto Contemporary Artists Explore Opera, an exhibition that examines themes of race, gender, and class within the stories, traditions, architecture, and music of opera. The exhibition features the work of Suzanne Boccanegra, Candida Hofer, William Kentridge, Bill Viola, among the works, and many more. Among the works included are a film that provides a post-colonial take on Verde, large-scale photographs of iconic opera houses that explore the architecture and order of social space, multiple installations that investigate the stories, music, sets, and costumes of opera, drawings and collages that abstract opera design, and an installation of a fictional diva's dressing room that examines gender roles. The first large-scale exhibition of its kind, Bel Canto, will engage opera aficionados and novices alike, offering unexpected glimpses behind the scenes and deep into the cultures and histories that have influenced this iconic art form over the years.
Yeah, it dovetails into our opera season,
yes.
Of course. And many of these artists that you mentioned all design either sets or costumes for operas around the globe. So what Site Santa Fe has done is give us a somewhat compressed version of their other work. Now, all of these people are practicing artists. They don't just design sets for opera. But of course, opera has this overarching interest in both the comedy and the tragedy of our human species.
Right.
And so what these artists do is take their intellect and engage a specific opera in their set design and costume. So it's well worth seeing.
You've been there.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good looking show.
Fantastic. Tell us more what's on your plate there.
Oh, I think you everybody wants to run and see some work by James Drake at Charlotte Jackson Fine Art. That is going to run through June 30th. It opens tonight from 5 to 7. James Drake had a wonderful exhibition of charcoal drawing at the Museum of Fine Art, I think about 5 years ago. He's from El Paso, very well-respected fine artist from that area. And what this man can do with charcoal, you just simply won't believe it. Most of his drawings are incredibly large scale,
mm-hmm.
and he often focuses on social issues such as what's going on at our border between Mexico and the United States. So James Drake, Charlotte Jackson, 5 to 7 tonight. Good looking show.
Sounds fabulous. All right. And also, we've been talking about this for a while, but I thought I'd go into the details of it today. It's a gathering of voices. Folk art from the Judith Espinar and Tom Dillenberg collection, and that's happening at the Museum of International Folk Art from December 16th through August 25th. My birthday. That's going to be the last day of that exhibition. This exhibition illuminates the diverse voices and living traditions of international cultures through the singular vision of a collector who spent more than 50 years studying, supporting, and celebrating the art of the handmade. For the first time, more than 200 select pieces from Espinar's collection of thousands of global folk artworks, including ceramics, wood carvings, textiles, metalwork, and more. It will be on exhibit in a unique installation that replicates object groupings and settings from her Santa Fe home, enabling viewers to experience the works as Espinar lives with them in her daily life. Wow.
Cool.
Wouldn't you like to live amongst all that? You do, actually. You're an artist.
Yeah, well, we do. We're right here in Santa Fe. Just run up to Museum Hill.
There you go.
And if you're a senior, I believe you get in free on Wednesdays.
There you go. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you something. I'm curious about this. Do you live amongst your art?
Well, my studio is always a wreck, so I guess so, yes.
Sounds good.
Yeah, no, I try to get out and see as many exhibits as possible. And a fantastic one, which is coming from outside the neighborhood, will be at Zane Bennett Contemporary Art tonight, opening 5 to 7. These are fine art prints by Ellsworth Kelly, Bridget Riley, Sol LeWitt. And I'm going down just to see prints by Sol LeWitt, who is one of my all-time favorite artists. Sol would drop the plans to make a modern artwork, and then you buy the plans, and then you'd get a group of students, and you would make the piece.
Wow.
So Sol didn't actually make the art. He would give you directions, and you make it yourself.
Ah.
Sort of like, you know, baking a cake.
Right. That's right. Sounds fantastic. All right. Now, this is coming up. It's actually June 14th, so it's a bit away. You know what? Actually, let's go to something that's closer. But I just don't want to miss the Planet of the Apes coming up. It's going to be a screening at the Rail Yard, outdoor screening. Anyway, June 14th, so I'll give that a plug next week probably. The Ring is happening in The Ring in 60 Minutes, a talk at the piano by Joe Illich. And that's again at Site Santa Fe. Site Santa Fe has all sorts of incredible things going on. They say, join us for this collaboration with the Wagner Society of Santa Fe. In just 60 minutes, multi-talented Joe Illich will introduce you to the entire saga of the Ring Cycle, playing the piano and sometimes singing the complex notes that Wagner wrote for an 88-plus orchestra. As trained concert pianist and committed educator among his many talents, Joe has developed a devoted audience in Santa Fe with his talks at the piano through the Notes on Music series presented by Performance Santa Fe, of which he has been the general and artistic director for 10 years. Joe has been the music director and principal conductor of the Fort Worth Opera in Texas since 2002 and its artistic director since 2017. He's also a prolific composer of operas and symphonic music. Unshakable, which Joe composed from the Santa Fe Opera in 2016 in commemoration of Shakespeare's 400th anniversary, will have a revival performance at Site Santa Fe on April 27th. And that's again happening at Site Santa Fe, June 1st.
So if you don't have time to see the entire Wagner Ring.
Six to eight p.m. Just want to get that in there.
Yeah. The entire Wagner Ring takes 2 or 3 days to perform. Mm-hmm. So you go to the opera and you sit there all day while they play and they sing. And it's just it's a marathon of opera. So what Illich is doing, he's compressing that into like an hour for you so that you can get the gist of the entire Wagner Ring in under an hour.
Yeah. Wow. It's cool. Know what? And we have less than a minute, to say our goodbyes. Any quick little shout-outs there?
Frank Ettenberg at Vital Spaces, this fabulous painter, and in the twilight of his life and career. He's going to be having a show Wednesday, June 5th at Vital Spaces, 310 Johnson Street. Frank, wonderful abstract painter.
Fantastic. Well, I just want to thank everybody for joining us today. Thank you, Patrick Harris, Bigger Than Life artist, once again for joining us right here on Wake Up Call. And I hope everyone has a fabulous, fantastic weekend.
Oh, thank you, MK. It's great to be here. And this is a big weekend for art. And by the way, if you haven't seen a 20-foot painting of Mount Denali with yellow snow, you can still see it tomorrow at Chiaroscuro. That would be one of my paintings.
Ooh, hallelujah. Well, make sure and do that. Thanks so much.
You bet.